and a good Sunday afternoon to you. I hope that you've been enjoying a great day of being in the presence of the Lord, to worship Him and to hear from Him, and that you've been enjoying a day of resting with family and friends. Hi, this is Dr. Doug Cowan, a family therapist and director of ministry here at KAXL. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to consider together some of the prayer requests that have come into our KAXL offices. So let's spend some time together now to listen to some music together, to pray together, and to take a few minutes to look at some topics of importance for you and your family.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and you can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you built up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. This is where the healing begins.
We have some prayer requests that we would like to just bring before our Father this evening, and if you would pray with me about them. The first is for Savannah, a young lady that I think she's really great. And she was in a car accident just a couple of days ago. And I'm going to ask you to pray for her. She seems to be doing okay, but certainly it's something that would shake you up a little bit. And for my friend Eric, who's not been feeling well, he could use some prayer. But not just Eric, his mom fractured her hip just a few days back, and she's had recent surgery on her hip, and we want to be praying for her as well. Many of you actually know who this person is and been involved in ministry for years and years here in Bakersfield, and her son is a friend of mine up here in Tatchby. So anyway, for Eric's mom, and for Lorraine's mom, to having cataract surgery, we want to pray that that will go well and that she will recover quickly. And Lorraine also says that her dad was supposed to have some other kinds of surgery, but he got bit by a dog and took 21 stitches to put that back together. So we want to be praying for him. He's got to recover from the dog bite before he can have some other surgery that he also needs. So let's just pray for these people and for so many others who have called in. We want to pray that God would be involved in each of their situations, bring healing to them. Father, please, we just come before you and ask that you would continue bringing healing to Savannah and healing not just to her head, but where she had some swelling hit her head, but Father, also her heart, that there would be no lasting kinds of impact from being in this accident, that she would be at peace with you, be at peace with herself, be at peace with her life. And Father, for these other things that are going on, for Eric's mom, I pray that you would help her recover quickly from this hip surgery. We know that, usually you don't recover very fast. It takes a while, and that can be very painful. And so, Father, we ask that you would intervene and that you would keep it from being painful, that you would help her recover very, very quickly here from this surgery and get her up and serving people once again in ministry. Father, we ask that you would do that. And for Lorraine's mom and dad, both. For Lorraine's mom, the cataract surgery that she's recently had, just pray that you would bring quick healing to her eyes for that. And for her dad, who's got to recover from this dog bite before he can have other surgery. Lord, he really needs complete recovery and health and strength in order to even have this other surgery that he needs. Please be with him. Give him great strength and bring people into their lives that will help them. They're both hurt. So bring people into their lives that can minister to them at this time as they're both recovering. Father, this is our prayer. These are real people. Help them, Father. Be there with them. Bring healing and strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations,
stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. 'Cause living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming on glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he
be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding.
Lost our Savior.
Well, like many of you, we're part of a weeknight Bible study with some great friends. We love it. It's one of the highlights of our week. And I hope that you're part of a study like that as well with some good friends. What we're looking at, our Bible study has to do with looking at who we are in Christ. How does God see us? How does our Father in heaven feel about us? What does the Scripture have to say about this? And sadly, it's kind of a controversial topic. Shouldn't be. Scripture's full of descriptions of how God feels about His dearly loved children. And I would invite you to go through the Scripture and just look at that. How does God feel about you, His child? So anyway, that's what we're looking at. And last night we went through Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 and looked at who we are in Christ from the perspective of those two chapters. Really, it's great. And part of what we're doing is we're looking at what we need to know in order to stay free. And what I mean by that is to never be taken into captivity, to really stay away from abusive, spiritual, controlling kinds of places, to stay away from any kind of tyranny that would want to grab us and control us. How do we stay free? What are the things we need to know? Some of those things that we've talked about are these. The first thing we need to know is how awesome our Father God is. God is our Father, and how awesome He is. This is the general of angel armies. This is the one who spoke and made the universe. He is the King above all kings, and all the angels in heaven, all the seraphim and cherubim and angelic warriors and archangels, they all bow down and worship God, the Almighty, who is our Father. So we really need to grasp how awesome our Father is, and we need to know how our Father actually views us. How does our Father actually feel about us? We need to know who we are in Christ, really. And we need to know all that happens when we're born again, at that moment of our justification, at that moment of putting our faith and trust in Christ. What are all the things that happen? There's more than a dozen different things the Scriptures describe that happen at that moment of time. We're born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Our names are written in the book of life. We're justified in the courts of God. All of these things are true. We're saved. We're redeemed. We're purchased with the blood of Christ. We need to know all of those things that happen when we're born again. We need to know the answer to the question, who owns me? It's kind of an odd question, but it's really important. Who owns me? Do you own yourself? Does Christ own you? It's kind of a little circular thing that would go on. Because even if you owned yourself, even if being purchased by Christ into a place of freedom, you would be giving yourself as a bond servant to Christ. So who owns you? Do you own yourself? Not really. Does Christ own you? Yeah, He purchased you by His blood. So you can kind of go back and forth. I own myself. I gave myself to Christ. Now I'm His bond servant. Or Christ owns me. He purchased me by His blood. But let me tell you who does not own you. No group owns you. Church doesn't own you. Bible study doesn't own you. Discipleship group doesn't own you. The government doesn't own you. The IRS doesn't own you. They may think they do, and you have to pay them. But who owns you? And ultimately, you're going to settle on the place where you know God owns you. Christ died for you, and His blood purchased you. So anyway, that's part of staying free, is understanding really who owns me and who doesn't. And we need to really know God's revealed word to us. We really need to know the Scriptures fully. I heard a pastor talk about, don't just read what you like everything that you read. It's all the word of God. And we need to read the word of God fully, not be the kind of people that pull out black Sharpie pens and cross off entire chapters of the Bible and say, well, I don't like that. We need to read God's word fully. And even if we don't understand it, we need to know it has been revealed to us by God Himself. So these are some real important things for us to understand. Also, just from our looking at just our self-identity, where does that come from? And how that comes from our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. How that comes with our relationship of being adopted into God's family. And if you're unclear about this, please look at passages like Romans chapter 8 and read what Paul writes there about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We all need acceptance. We all need to feel like we're accepted by somebody. Well, you know what? We are accepted in Christ by God Himself. And we have significance because of that relationship. We all are searching for significance. Well, where does it come from? It comes from our relationship with God, being part of His royal family, being an ambassador for His kingdom. We do have significance in Christ. We also find our security in Christ. We find our freedom in Christ.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen.